Oh man, gotta love a good Lord of the Rings clip. Welcome. I'm a pastor, Ben Schulman's pastor here at Bethel Church, and self-professed nerd. I do love me some Lord of the Rings. I love that quote, Gandalf speaking, saying, "All you must decide is what to do with the time that is given to you." And today, I would love to talk with you guys about the time that we have, not only together in the next little bit, but also coming up in 2019 and how God might use that. Many of you might have been here when I spoke before, and I had some marbles with me. And these marbles, I will admit, probably mean nothing to you, but to me, they mean a lot. And what I have here is I have a jar that is filled with 488 marbles. 488 marbles. And I have to confess, as you can see, I have almost lost half of my marbles. This was almost full. In fact, when I started, it was just over 800. And what it marks for me is a visual reminder that with my oldest son, Jude, he is in eighth grade, or he's eight, almost lost a ton of marbles right there. He's in third grade, and he's 8 years old. And I have 488 weeks until the first week of June when he graduates high school. I have 488 weeks left to make an impact in his life, to try to set him up for success. And I have to admit, of all of my kids, I am most interested in the jar that is Jude's because it has the least amount of marbles in it. And I don't think I've wasted the time I've had with him, but that doesn't change the fact that I have less time with him than I had before. It kind of sounds morbid when I say it like that. I don't know how I'm going to be as a parent. I might want to kick my son out by then, but I also might want him to stay with me until he's 50, which would give me a lot more marbles. True. But the fact is, when he's 18, he can do what he wants. And at that point, my influence in him is going to be much diminished. And so I want to take advantage of the time I have now. And today, I want to talk with you guys about time. And one word in particular that may have a lot of meanings to you individually, and I want to define it as we go forward as a group, and that word is vision, okay? Now, when I say the word vision, I'm not specifically talking about this sort of daydream trance where you see this amazing thing often, which we've seen in the Bible, where God has given a vision to somebody, where they're like awake but dreaming. Awesome. Very cool. That is not exactly what I'm talking about today. So when I say the word vision, what I mean is seeing where you want to go. Okay? Vision to me is starting something with the end in mind. Starting on a journey, starting a trip, living your life, thinking about where you want to go, not just about what's around you right now. Okay? I think we all can know at Christmas time, often it gets crazy. And we're just trying to get through. We're just trying to survive, just get through the days until our kids go back to school, which will be great. But at the same point, we are thinking about just what's here and not thinking of what is ahead. Where do I want to be? How do I want to live my life? And so when I say vision today, that's what I'm talking about. And the cool part about vision and about time is when we use our time with vision, when we think about where we want to be and actually spend our time trying to get there, all of a sudden time can become the greatest resource we have, except for the Holy Spirit. Somebody should have called me on that. Holy Spirit, yes. Holy Spirit's the greatest resource we have that God has given us. The Bible, yes. God speaking to us, God's word. But when we use time, when we use time intentionally, it can have a huge impact. Today, you could do something today in your spiritual life. God could do something because you've intentionally decided to be here today in your life to make an impact, right? That's just in a half hour of time or an hour, We'll see how long I feel like talking, right? A small amount of time God gives him. However, you could make a decision, and we're going to be talking about this for 2019. You could make a choice January 1st and live that out for 365 days, and you could see life-changing things happen in your life. When you begin to use time intentionally as a resource, as if you had the ability to choose what you want to do with your time. Do you guys get that you do have the ability to choose? Oftentimes it doesn't feel like that though, right? We've got family, we've got kids, we've got a job, we've got commitments. We have all these things that we've roped ourselves into, and we begin to feel like, I don't have time. I don't have time to do what I want to do or what I need to do. Let me tell you today, you can choose how to spend your time. You own it. It's your life. Don't coordinate it, live it. Live your life and use the time that God has given you. So when I'm talking about vision, that's what I'm talking about. There's a great verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18. It simply says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then I love in the King James how it continues. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is. Almost as if Yoda were writing this, right? It's this great. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is. I almost tried a Yoda voice, but I did not. In my mind, I chuckled at myself doing it. I have to confess, this verse, I feel like it's far more talking about how we use God's word in our lives with the time that is given to us than just actual vision. But I do think the words are there, that there's this understanding when if you don't plan where you're going, you may not get there. If you don't think about where you want to finish, lo and behold, you may find yourself unsatisfied with where you are, feeling like you've just been spinning your wheels, living, reacting to the things around you instead of moving forward. I like to think of it in this way, like imagine football. Now, many of you may not play football. Of course, my friend Steve, who is not from around here, likes to think of football as this soccer game. Maybe it's a big deal. I don't know. But when I think of football, I think of it as this game that we play on Sunday mornings. Seahawks finishing the season today. Go Seahawks. Imagine playing this game on a giant field, but there are no lines. You don't know which way to go. You're trying to score a touchdown. You have this thought of, well, I want to score, but I don't know where it is. I don't know where the end zone is. I don't know how to get there. Vision is putting something at the end saying, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. I want to make it to something. And that's what we need in our lives. My main point today is very simple. Vision helps you make the most of the time that is given to you. Now, if you are like me and you want to imagine Gandalf saying those words, you can, because I do hear his voice when I say it. But vision helps you make the most of the time that is given to you. And as I talk today, I just want to briefly go over some spots in our lives. So these are some areas where you may not have vision that you need to. We need vision to win. We need vision to live the most out of the time we have. And I want to talk about some of those spots. And then I want to talk about a pretty important thought when it comes to vision. And that is, seeing where you want to go is huge. But you have to couple that with action, right? It's the classic New Year's resolution. Who has made a New Year's resolution before? Yes. Well, apparently I'm the only one. No, thank you, Angelina. I see that hand in the back. Yes. I have made a New Year's resolution. How many have I kept? Well, not as many as I've made. And so there's this thought of like, oh, vision. I can have an idea on where I want to go, but I'm never going to get there. Well, true in one sense with that attitude, you're not. But also, if you couple where you want to go and actually put some action to it, use the time that you have intentionally, it's unbelievable what God can do through somebody who wants to be shaped by him and molded by him and wants to be used by him. And so we're going to talk about that at the end today. So couple of key spots that you need to have vision for. The first, I hope, is obvious, and that is you, your life. You need vision for 2019. Some of you might need vision for today. What am I going to do after church? How am I going to make the most of the rest of the time I have in 2018? We need vision. Have you considered? Have you began to think or even dream? Where would you like to be spiritually at the end of 2019? Where would you want to be? I cannot answer that for you. It's something you have to begin to talk with God about, to pray about, to ask, what could happen this year in my life? How about physically? Where do I want to be at the end of this year? Do you have vision for that? Mentally. That might mean you have to read a nonfiction book. Whew. But mentally, where do you want to be at the end of this year? Have you given any thought? Have you put some time into deciding where you want to go? Because again, there is an assumption I make about time. And if you don't believe this, one assumption that I make, it's going to be very difficult to use your time effectively. And that is, you own your time. No matter all the responsibilities you have and all the expectations people put on you, it is still your choice how you use it. So when I'm talking about dreaming and thinking about what next year could hold for you, that's the assumption that you actually could make changes, that you actually could decide that you want to do something amazing with the time you have. So that's one area, your life. Everybody needs vision. We all need vision, or we're just spinning our wheels half the time, running with the football, endlessly getting tired, not being able to find the end zone, not being able to know if at the end of the year we won or lost. That's why vision is so important for us. I mean, again, as the verse tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? All right, another area is family. Now, when I say family, I immediately think to children, my kids. I do have some vision long-term, even more than a year, with all of my kids and thinking of, man, I only get so much time with them, and this world is so crazy. How can I help them succeed? What can I do to set them up so that they love Jesus every day for the rest of their lives? And we need vision for our kids. There's a great story, and I want to read it. I came across it a couple years ago. I think it may have started as maybe a Facebook article in like 2015 or 16. But it's this story of a man named Thomas Edison. And you may not know, Thomas Edison was a great inventor and did a lot of amazing things in his life, but he struggled in school as a kid. And so this sort of article read like this. One day, as a small child, Thomas Edison came home from school and gave a paper to his mother. He said to her, "Mom, my teacher gave me this paper and told me that only you are able to read it. What does it say?" Her eyes welled up with tears as she read out loud to her child, "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him, and he doesn't have good enough teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself." Many years after Edison's mom died, he ended up stumbling across this same letter. Apparently, his mom had kept it and kept it in a safe spot, and he stumbles across it and opened it and then actually read it. And what it actually said was this: "Your son is mentally deficient." Dang it, I made it through the first service. All right. "We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Can you see the vision, though? A mom that wasn't going to let anybody say this about her kid and kept a vision of how powerful it is. Now, as much as I get emotional when I read it, the story probably isn't true. It was probably made up. Thomas Edison lived a long time ago, right? However, I had this same thought, and I did look it up and read from an interview with Thomas Edison in 1907. So November 29th, he was printed in this journal in 1907, and he recalls it this way as he tells the story. "One day I overheard the teacher tell the inspector that I was ad-lib and that it would not be worthwhile keeping me in school any longer. I was so hurt by this last straw that I burst out crying and went home and told my mother about it. Then I found out what a good thing a good mother is. She came as my strong defender. Mother love was aroused, mother pride wounded to the quick. I love this part. She brought me back to the school and angrily told the teacher that he didn't know anything, and he had no idea what he was talking about, and that I had more brains than him. In fact, she was my most enthusiastic champion, and I determined right then that I would be worthy of her and show her that her confidence was not misplaced. I kind of like the true story better. Powerful, right? Do you have a vision for your kids? And I can tell you what, I'm sure if this mom had lived longer, that vision wouldn't have ended when her son turned 18 or 40 or 50. You can still have a vision for your family. Your influence changes over time. As your kids get older, it does change. But you still have time. You can still have a vision for your family. I have 4 kids, so I got lots of vision. Yeah, we got a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And so I got a lot of jars with lots of marbles, but it's valuable. Now, my wife also pointed out, when we talk about family, we're talking about marriages, right? This one's going to get a little tense. Do you have a vision for your marriage? Have you spent some time thinking about it? Now, when I say, do you have a vision for your spouse? Remember, you can only change you. You don't need to say, hey, I envisioned you being nicer. That's not going to work. Don't try that one. But, man, could you see at the end of 2019, could you even begin to picture what would it look like if you were happier with your spouse? What would it look like if you were more intimate? What would it look like if you guys had shared more experience over the year? Right? It's a cool vision. You have time. God can use the time you have. Vision, again, vision is just picking an end zone. It's just seeing where you want to go and using your time because it's valuable, because it's a priceless commodity that we have to spend, and we get to choose how to do that. Have vision. Have vision for yourself. Have vision for your family, for your marriage. And I have to add this one in. I'm a children's pastor, and so this one goes deep with me, but do you have vision for the next generation? Do you have vision for the kids? I love this thought about Jesus. Somebody once asked me this question. When will Jesus stop loving kids? When should I stop loving kids? Right? And Jesus, they weren't even his kids, right? He loved the children around him. We see it in Scripture. Jesus had a heart for this next generation. His own disciples, in a sense, was the next generation. He was pouring into them. I hope in 2019 that God may call some of you to have a vision for the next generation, for that next group. Today is actually an interesting day. Today is a 5th Sunday that falls between Christmas and New Year's. And if you're in children's ministry, you know today is the hardest day of the year to staff. I mean, it's easier to staff on Easter than it is to staff on a 5th Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's. And y'all be thankful because we could have canceled Kids Church, had them in here with you. I wouldn't do that because I have a vision for our kids. And I don't want to waste a Sunday. I'd only get so many Sundays with these kids, and I want them to hear that God loves them. But I have to tell you, on a day like today, and sadly on other days, I got to take a 3-year-old classroom and I got to take a 4-year-old classroom, which are both completely developmentally different, and I have to combine them. And I have curriculum. We've cut out crafts. It's prepared for both groups. But I have to combine them because I don't have teachers in the classrooms. I need people with vision. I need people who want God to use them, who want to make a difference in the next generation. And I have to tell you, God can do it. I mean, I think about, like, I'm excited. My son's got a lot of marbles left. I got some marbles, but I don't have very many left for my own time. The time that I put into Jude, he could change the world, right? These kids have so much more time on this earth than we will have. They need to know this stuff. They need to know that God loves them. They need people to pour into them, and it's huge. One of the other things I've been able to do recently is to work with a group of young adults. And I don't see many of them here, but me and my wife have been doing this young adult group. Corey's here. There he is. Everyone say hi, Corey. He's here, and it's awesome. Love it. Anyways, with this group of young adults, we've come to find out that they don't know everything. It's been this kind of thing. Whoa, wait, we all kind of realized it. Guess what? They could use somebody to take them out for coffee, right? They could use somebody to sit down and ask some questions. Like, hey, how are you doing? What's school like for you right now? What's home like? Could that be you in 2019? I got people I can connect you up with. We'd love to have some help. I know Pastor BJ has got some junior hires. Pastor BJ has got some junior hires. They need some positive adults in their lives, right? This generation, man, they're up against it. They need Christians with vision. Christians like Thomas Edison's mom, right? They're not going to see the problems. They're going to see the potential in them. Yeah. Anyways, all right, so we have these spots. We got yourself, your family, your marriage, next generation, so many other places at work, your relationship with your friends. You can have vision in so many spots. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty, okay? We can have vision, but we got to match it with action. And I want to tell a quick story from the Bible, and that is this story of David and Doeg. You might have heard of one of them. The other guy, not so much. He's kind of a random character from 1 Samuel. And the story goes something like this. So David has been anointed the king, the next king, but King Saul is still running the country, right? So King Saul becomes jealous. David has to flee. He's running away. King Saul's pursuing him, trying to kill him. And eventually David ends up in this town of Noob. He ends up there, and there's this priest, Ahimelech. And the priest says, hey, David, what are you doing here? Why are you by yourself? And he says, well, I'm on business from the king, and my men need food. Do you have a weapon? I don't have one. I left in such a rush. And so the priest gladly helps him, gives him a sword, gives him some food, sends him on his way. They both, David and Ahimelech, spot this guy, Doeg, who happens to be the chief shepherd of Saul. I don't know what a chief shepherd does, but apparently it was a position, and this guy had it. He was detained before the Lord in the town of Noob, and fast forward to the next chapter. Saul has lined up all his officials, and he's looking at all of them, and he is upset. He's saying, you've all betrayed me. You guys are unbelievable. Nobody told me that David was going to brainwash my son and get him to disobey and traitors, and you guys are all stupid. Nobody even knows where David is. And Doeg, which the Bible clearly says was there, almost assuming that chief shepherd is not an official position, but he was there. He found himself there, and he's like, excuse me. Saul, I happen to see David. Tells him about the priest. Saul is furious. He calls the priest forward and all of his family, 85 men and young men before him. He sentenced them right there, says, you've all betrayed me, even though they had no idea that David, anyways, the whole story, sentences them to death. He looks at his brutes, looks at all of his fighting men, says, hey, you kill him, you kill him. Every single guy says, no, I can't, I'm not going to kill these defenseless priests. I'm not going to raise my hand against the Lord. He looks down the line and sure enough sees Doeg and says, you do it. Without doubt, he grabs a sword and kills 80 five people, right? Now, here's the thing. Doeg could have been a man with vision, and his vision was to kill people, and thought this was the best opportunity. I don't see that, though. What I see is a chief shepherd who wanted more. He thought, I want to be successful, be in a priest, a kingly position. I want to raise up in this court. And when he found the opportunity, he took it. Now, the Bible doesn't say what he thought that morning, but as I read it, what I sense is he probably didn't wake up that morning thinking he was going to kill 85 people. But his vision demanded it. If he wanted to be higher up in the king's group, he had to do this thing. My point is simply this. Have a godly vision. There's a lot of things we can spend our time on. There's a lot of things, because we get to choose how we spend our time. There's a lot of things we could point ourselves to say, I want to be more liked. I want to have more money. I want to manipulate the people around me so that they like me more. I don't know. Any number of things, right? The best person you can be is when your vision aligns with what God wants for your life. Note David here, okay? We have no idea what happens to Doeg. The Bible doesn't mention him after this. He may have been promoted, he may not have been. We know that he did some horrible things after that in the next sentence, which I won't read today, but that happens. David, though, not once but twice, has an opportunity to kill Saul and take the kingdom for himself. Both times he refuses it. Did David have vision? Did he have no ambition? He did. Was his ambition and vision to become the king? No. Was his ambition and vision to live right and follow God? Yeah. To be a man after God's own heart? Absolutely. And even when this temptation comes before him where he could become the next king, he doesn't take it, not once but twice in the biblical narrative, right? We can learn a lot from David on having a godly vision. Because I can tell you the truth, when you just seek the things that you want and you have no consideration for what God wants, you're going to fall flat. And you're going to find, it's the classic Ebenezer Scrooge, right? You want money, you're going to get it all, but you're miserable. You're miserable when you get it. Now, I hope none of you are haunted by three ghosts or anything like that, but if it made you more generous, made you serve in children's ministry, Holy Spirit, move. All right, so you got to do it. You got to seek the Lord. We're going to be doing that coming up in January. Our church every year sets up a 21-day prayer and fast time where we can seek God. Seek God about the vision for 2019. Don't stress if today you're like, I don't know. I don't know answers to these questions. Spend time with God and begin to ask him, God, what is your vision for my marriage? What is your vision for my relationship with my kids, for my life? What is the vision you have? Help me know, because I want to move. I want to be molded by you. The next one is simply when you set the boundaries of trying to seek what God wants, you have to live by your priorities, okay? When you set your priorities, like for me, just a couple. Number one, I know Pastor Tim isn't surprised by this, but it's not be a children's pastor. Number one is my relationship with God. It's over my family, it's over my marriage, my relationship with kids, my relationship with the Lord is number one. Where am I at with God? Where am I at with you, Jesus? Number two is my family, right? How am I in my marriage? Where am I at with my kids individually? This one's tough for me because I always skip it, but I am a part of my family. So if I'm going to die because I'm not taking care of myself, that's not going to help my family out. How am I? Am I healthy? Am I living right? Am I feeling good about my life? Because I'll tell you the truth, there are so many distractions we can do. So many things that come up against us with our time, right? I mean, you're talking to the guy. I got a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, okay? My wife just started a new job. She just worked her first 12-hour shift last night. There's all this stuff coming up against us. However, I cling to this knowing it's my time. And I have to live by my priorities. I have to say, if God is important to me today, what am I going to do to spend time with him? if my relationship with my kids is important, regardless of how crazy everything is, what am I doing to intentionally use my time with my relationship with my kids? If my marriage is a priority and is important to me, regardless of how busy things look, I have to make time for the things and I have to actually live that out. Now, your priorities could look totally different, but you need to set some priorities in your life and begin to live by those. The opposite is something that is like my default mode and I hate it, but it's called like a reaction-based operating system. Bazinga. Action-based operating system, right? So, it's just like, oh, here's a thing from Facebook. Oh, here's a thing from an email. Oh, here's a, and before I notice, I've wasted hours of my day. I'm just reacting to people who are trying to suck attention from me and time instead of saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. When I got home today, I was going to spend time working with my son on building this robot. The fact that there's been five other things that have popped up, I got to do this because it's a priority to me, because this is important. Because I want to spend time with him and I want to do this, right? You got to live by your priorities. All right, last one, and then we'll conclude, and it's simply this. We talk about vision. We're beginning with the end in mind. We're trying to dream about what's ahead, trying to see where we want to be, what we want it to be like. That's kind of step one. This other thought, though, is once you've done that, you begin with the start, begin with the end in mind, you have to set some markers, set some goals, set some things. So I had Kristen Greisen. She's a young adult here at the church, and she sat down with me, and one of her goals for this year was to hear from God. That's a great vision. I love it. If that was it and she just left it there, I don't think she'd ever do anything about it though, right? It's just this resolution you throw out there. However, once you set a boundary, you say, that's what I want to be. I want to hear from God this year. Set some markers. Say, hey, I'm going to spend 25 minutes every morning before I get up and do anything else, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek God and try to hear from him. That's a marker. You just set something that's going to help you get to where you want to go. Now, that might be one step. Her next step might be, I'm going to set an alarm that says, spend time with God this morning. So she set another marker to get to the next marker to help her get to where she wants to go. This is where we talk about this action of not only having vision, but having an action to help you get there. And if you line that up with God and you're seeking what he wants and you're going to live by your priorities, 2019 is going to be pretty sweet. We're going to get quite a bit done for the Lord, and that's going to be awesome. And there are things we got to do. I have to say this, one of the worst experiences of my life was running an ultra marathon. And I know you could take a quick look and see obviously why that was such a bad choice. But I went on this endeavor and ran out at the top of Mount Ashland. You park at the ski park, 5,500 feet of elevation gain throughout the race, 31 miles, okay? So you run a marathon and then you run five more miles. What made the race so much harder than I had anticipated was there was no markers. I had my watch and I could guess how fast I thought I was going, but there were no mile markers. You didn't know if you were at mile 15 or mile 10, depending on how you were going. I mean, it took me 7.5 hours, which was brutal in itself. I got to the end. I just remember when I could finally see the end. And I had been envisioning it the whole time, but that was the first time I had a marker to say, oh, I know where I am. It was this big loop. I made it back to this spot. I can see it. How much motivation that gave me. If we want to accomplish what God has for us this year, we need to have vision. Vision is going to set us up to get done what God wants us to do. It's going to help us to make a difference in our lives, in our world, and to see change and move forward. I want that for you. I want you to not feel like you're spinning your wheels, and God can do it. God can do it. We get to choose how we spend our time. And vision helps us make the most of the time we're given. Let me pray for you and then invite Pastor Tim up. Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness to us. God, we submit to you to use the time we have, the time that is given to us to make the most of it this year. Be with us for the last 2 days of this year and for the whole year next year. In your name we pray, amen.